Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, O God. Bless you, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, for your grace. I had different plans than I felt like really continuing in what we've been ministering on, which is abiding in the tabernacle of God. Can I tell you something? I feel invincible. I feel invincible. I just feel invincible. I might not look invincible, but I feel invincible. I might trip over stuff because I can't see it quite yet, but I feel invincible. It's the word of God's working in me, man. It's working in me. And I was going to keep on with some good stuff, more revelation about dwelling in the house of God. Can I say something too before Almighty God? I'm excited. I've preached to 400 kids before. I'm excited. Just as excited preaching to 10 tonight. Those empty, that little maroon typhoon devil in here, he don't faze me. He don't faze me. As long as one keeps coming, I'm with you. But I will not preach to an empty chair. Just one keeps coming, I'll keep going. I feel invincible, and I feel like I'm on the right path. I can't be jerked to the side. I can't be swayed. I'm just going to share something with you tonight, and I do have permission from the Holy Ghost, because we've been teaching for the last 6 or 7 weeks, just teaching. And I feel real comfortable just teaching. I really do. Because the miracles, that's what I'm contending for, but they're here Sunday morning. So this is open really to anybody that wants to. Because pastor isn't always going to teach. He flows, he goes with the flow, which is what he's supposed to do. So I get the opportunity to teach God's word. I mean, because what you need, the healing that you need, it's here Wednesday and it's here Sunday morning. And I'm graduating to that area in the spirit, but I have no conviction right now, just teaching the word of God. And I'm going to continue just teaching until he takes me elsewhere. The way I see it, people that are being taught right now are the ones that are here on Wednesday and Sunday morning. So there's a balance. But I'm going to share this with you. And I only shared it with Pastor Bronkie, with two other people, with a black gentleman named Barry Johnson. You see, I've been talking to him a little bit on Facebook. Great man of God. I don't post much on Facebook no more, but probably been months. I will on occasion. I feel like being a smart aleck. But I urge you to add this black man named Barry O. Johnson. Is that what it is, Alex? Add him. He's a spirit-filled man with spirit-filled wisdom and knowledge that's second to none. And I don't brag on many people, but this man here is incredible. But I want to share this with you. And I'm going to cry easy. When the wind blows, I'm crying. I cry easy. I ain't even shared it with my wife. I did get immediate instruction. I feel from the Holy Ghost to call Pastor Bronk. And I called a friend of the families in Texas. And it's amazing enough. I said, Lord, if I call them and they don't answer, then you didn't tell me to call them. But if I call them and they answer, then I know that basically I heard your voice. So as I talked to the person in Texas, they said, oh my God, you can't believe the timing of this. You can't believe that. I was just thinking it minutes before you called, that I'm tired of being powerless. They said, I'm tired of knowing a Bible verse and living off of that. They said, I needed this so bad. So anyway, long story short, I was coming from Naples. My new job, I'm involved in sales now. And I went by Gulf Coast High School. My son Elijah played AAU travel ball with some of them kids from Gulf Coast, good kids. You know, I've always had a disposition about people from Naples. I mean, I believe in being honest. To me, every single one of them were a bunch of snotty, rich, white kids. That's what I thought. But as Elijah played with a lot of these rich kids this summer from the Barron Collier area, rich kids, I was an idiot. There's more snotty Mexicans than there is white people that I know. And I was thinking, great kids, great, great kids, great kids. I mean, they're terrified of people from Immokalee. They're scared of us. They asked Elijah, do they really have guns in Immokalee? I said, yeah, we got guns in Immokalee. Then they asked Elijah all kind of questions. Are they really gangs? Elijah said, no, we ain't got no gangs in Immokalee. no more gangs than anywhere else. But I was going by Gulf Coast High School, and it was so funny. Cause I love watching my kids play sports. I love watching all of them play sports. But they know the last couple of years I've grown in this area where, and they've caused tension at times where, okay, son, I'm there for you. But on Wednesdays, I'm an associate at a church, and my disposition, my heart's changed a little bit where I don't have to be at every one of your activities. Just because I'm not there doesn't mean that I don't love you. It means that I just got to love him a little bit more. And that's been accepted. It took a while, but it was accepted. But as I went by the field, Ms. Kirsten, I went by the field, and I saw driving down the road. It was incredible. I've never experienced nothing like it in my life. Because do you know, listen to this statement, that you can talk about God to somebody, to an unbeliever, and they won't talk back about God to you. Think about it. You can talk about God to an unbeliever about God, but they won't talk back to you about God until you leave and they talk about you. Because we sound like dummies sometimes. You talk about God. If you're not getting any feedback, friends, either you're super anointed and your convicted power of God's consuming them, or they think you're an idiot, one of the two. That's what you got to discern. That's what you got to discern. So you can talk about God to somebody, and they usually don't talk back, and they wait till you leave, and they talk about you. What's the difference between a Christian, a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a Buddhist, and a Muslim? What's the difference? Not nowadays. Nothing. Because we all got words. We all have words. What's the difference? There's no difference anymore. Should that be the case? No, that should not be the case. Remember that thought. So as I drove by Gulf Coast High School, I've been there before because my son's playing baseball there. I was in the crowd watching a game. Just watching a game, watching my son play. Now, this wasn't a physical moment. It just consumed me. I was driving down the road 45 miles an hour. And this came upon me, and I began to cry. I said, okay. And I could hear the same worship song. Majesty, you are holy, and how great is our God. I can wear them out over, and I'm real particular about what I hear. I just like songs that talk about him. That's just me. That's not Lee. That's just me. I don't have the corner on worship. That's just my preference. That's just me. You got yours that you like. You might not like mine, but that's just what I prefer. So the same song was on, but I began to, not an emotional cry, but like I was fighting it because I was driving. I was, like I watched The Help last night. I held my tears back watching The Help last night. My wife said, are you crying? No, I ain't crying. What you mean crying? Your mama's crying. I ain't crying. Then I would put my glasses on so they wouldn't see my tears. I don't know if they caught that or not. I rolled by the field watching a game, and a kid from Gulf Coast was going around the bases. Again, this didn't happen, but it was like, I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know what it was, but this is what I saw inside myself. And a kid got hurt and was yelling in pain and was yelling in pain and yelling in pain and yelling in pain. And Elijah yelled out and he yelled out. Now, Elijah knows what I stand for. I prayed for a little girl last night that messed up her ankle. Now, whether she got healed or not, I'm tired of not trying, man. I'm tired of not trying. I'm tired of just being scared of failure. I'm tired of it. So I just got on my knees and said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And if that little girl didn't get healed, it wasn't God's will for you to leave my house in pain. Because if Jesus Christ would have been here, young lady, you would have been healed. So if you didn't get your healing, blame the pastor. Don't blame Jesus Christ, because if Jesus would have been there, you would have immediately rose from your infirmity. So don't blame Jesus. I'm just not where I need to be yet. So the kid was yelling in pain, yelling in pain, yelling in pain. And Elijah cried out, call my dad. And I was there just sitting in the bleachers. I might have been eating one or two hot dogs, I don't know. I might have been a six-pack of hot dogs, I don't know. I was there. Y'all know me, we can throw down, right, Kirsten? And I was there just drinking a Diet Coke. Now, all this goes back. Now, the statement that I made to you about you can minister God to somebody, they won't talk about God back with you till after you leave, then they talk about you. Now, I don't have the brains to come on something like that. So before I had this mini vision, those words came to me. I know the Holy Ghost was involved in this because I was out of the blues, just going down the road, thinking about a sale that I just got, happy, delighted. And those words came to me out of the blues. You know, you can talk about God to somebody, and they don't have dialogue back with you. They wait till you leave, then they talk about you, how foolish they think you were. That's why it's so easy not to minister the word of God randomly, but to minister God's word spirit-led. There's a big difference, my friends. And let me retract that statement. That's night and day. And he yelled out, "Call my dad. Call my dad." And I got up, wearing the same shirt that I had on at that moment. And I got up, and see, he said, "Call my dad," because he knows what I preach. I don't walk in this yet, my friends. This dream, this vision was not about me. It was not about me. But it was about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that me and you are part of. He said, "Call my," he yelled it out, knowing that his dad was going to do something about the situation. "Call my dad." And as he called upon his dad, I called upon my dad as I walked to the young man. "Call my dad." And I heard him and I knew what he wanted. And I got up and I walked to that little boy as he called upon me. I said, "Okay, God, it's time to show forth your glory." And I got down on my knees, and there was people all around because this boy was in pain and nobody could figure out what was wrong with him. And I went to that little boy. I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be freed from this infirmity." And instantaneously, in that moment, he got up, rejoicing and yelling because of the work that God did in his life. And those around, the coaches around, the parents that were around, they were consumed with the moment. Why? Because finally, they saw something different than just words. All we've known to do in the kingdom, and there's nothing wrong with words, my friend. You got to minister words. When those words are backed up with love and signs and wonders, there's no denying who Jesus Christ is. Because all we do is minister words. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, be made whole." And the culture said, "Who is this Jesus that this man is talking about?" And they were interested. They were interested in this man named Jesus. Not because of me. This vision wasn't about me. It was about a true demonstration of the kingdom of God. My friends, I've said it before, and this is my doctrine. I would rather go home and die than to be a modern-day Christian believer. I would rather die, go home tonight in my sleep or choking on a Whopper, than go home tonight than to be a modern-day, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled believer. What a shame to be born again, Holy Ghost filled, and to still entertain society. I would rather go home. Holy Ghost filled, God filled, and to struggle and to drink the cup that says to drink the cup that society drinks. I would rather go home. Kiss my wife, kiss my kids, kiss my daughters, kiss my grandkids, say, "Daddy's going home," because I had everything in front of me, but I failed to access what I had in front of me. I'd rather go home. If I got to minister God's word from here on out with words, I'd rather quit. I would rather quit, my friends. And to go on this time next year still preaching words with no true yoke-breaking anointing. See, I can talk to you about healing all I want, which is good. Because, first the corn and the blade, what is that parable? That one, anyway. First the seed, then the husk, and the corn. Something like that. First the blade, and the ear, then the corn. I told that parable to one of my friends in Texas. He said, "I don't even have the dirt prepared for that yet, so I'm not ready for that yet. I wish I had the dirt to plant the seed or the corn." My point is this, man. We are the few. We are the few. And that doesn't, it consumes me. I can't fathom sometimes, but then I can fathom how we are taught to really make it, man. To really make it. How to make a difference, and there's still failure. I did put on Facebook today, I said, I forgot what I put. Did you read it? The one I put this morning? No, I put it's a shame. I think it's a shame to struggle as a believer in Christ Jesus with a Bible in every household and the Holy Ghost that follows us everywhere we go, that we are our very own worst enemy. We are stewards of our very own personal struggles. You know, you are a steward of how much you struggle in God and how much you don't. You are a steward of that. I made a decision. Pastor said it like two or three times in the last month or so. I made a personal decision. There was this group of kids that I've been, so I thought, mentoring. I would go after them. I would text them. I would do this and that to have them come to church. Good kids, kids that I love, a bunch of kids. I had to stop because I can't make a disciple out of somebody. They have to want to be made a disciple. I had to stop everything that I was doing because it was consuming so much of my time going after these young men. If somebody really wants Jesus, my friends, you don't have to pursue them. You do not. And I told my wife, and you're going to stop too. You're going to stop it too. It's over. If somebody wants to be, if they want to break bread with us, if they want to grow in Christ, they're going to have to take the initiative. We're not going to do it anymore. I got too big of a family, too much of a need at home. I got a prayer life that I just adore now, and I'm just not going to go after people that don't want. There's nothing that I can tell you, man. There's not a, and I could never understand Pastor's disposition on this. I thought he was mean. Pastor, you need to talk to this person. Well, Homer, I sort of can't go unless they, my God, he nailed it. If Alex goes today and tells me, look, I'm not ready for this yet, I don't have the permission to go. I mean, I can pray for him and pray that he's restored, like James says to do if one falls away in error. I can pray for him, but I can't go after you. You don't want me to go after you? If you really want Christ, you're going to make a stand, man. And I had to stop. It hurt me. It hurt me. Once you stop the plane tickets and once you stop the food, and I mean, I'll always feed somebody till the day I die. My wife will always cook. But once you stop buying them stuff, then you really find out how much they really love you. And I found out that out of that whole bunch, only two returned. Two of them returned. They come see me all the time. But once the money stopped, the plane tickets stopped, so did their fellowship with me and my family, except for two of them. I can't make anybody serve Jesus, man. And my days of trying to are over. I have a life. And don't get me wrong, it's not being mean. It's just being led of the Holy Ghost. There's many times where you'll read scripture where Jesus took his time to go somewhere. And Jesus, well, his whole life was to be led by the Holy Spirit. By the inward witness. I don't want to be, and I will not be, because I'm a steward of what I can be in God. I control that. I control it. I do. I control it to an extent in God. I control it. David said in Psalms 18, and I'm almost done, he said, the Lord rewarded me. Every time I say me or I, Alex, I want you to count. Count. I'm almost done. Where's my Bible? Hold on. I want you to count every time I say I, me, or, hold on here. The word I, me, or my, count it, okay? Every time I say me, my, or I, count it. That's what David said in closing. The Lord rewarded me, y'all can count, to yourself, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, has he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. How many is that so far? Six, okay. From my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquities. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, in his sight. How many times did he say me, my, or I? 15 times he said something that pertained to him. Now, I can quote that for you verse for verse, but I wanted to read it so you could count with me. 15 times he referenced himself. You don't think that you're a steward of how much of God you can get? You are your own personal steward of your own personal struggle. 15 times in 4 verses, he made a reference to himself. He said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, as he recompensed me. 15 times he referenced himself. He said, God blesses me. He recompenses me. He rewards me according to my lifestyle in him. 15 times. You don't think it's about you and God? It is all about you. You can have as much of him as you want, man. You can walk with as much integrity as you want. It's up to you. The ball is in your court. That little boy was sick and in so much pain, but the person that went and laid hands on him was one that had lived out of a place of fellowship with God. God isn't real to some people. He is a savior, but they've never really experienced God. If you really experience God, you'll want change. You'll want to lean next to his bosom. You'll want change. 15 times he referenced himself. The blessings of God came to David because he walked with clean hands. He kept himself from his very own iniquity, from his very own selfish ambition, from his very own wants of the flesh. He kept himself from that to an extent. I was rewarded according to how much I wanted God. He said, the Lord lives. He said it with an exclamation point. He said, the Lord lives. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. He said, let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted because of his lifestyle. I can't live off Pastor Bronk's lifestyle. My kids can't live off of mine. I can't live off of theirs. It's up to me and you. We are stewards of our personal struggles. In other words, my friend, if you are steward of it, then you don't have to have personal struggles. If you got them, it's because you're like a hog watered in the mud. You're having a good time with society. This got to stop. There has to be a difference. There has to be a separation. There has to be a separation. If there's not a separation, you'll never say in sincerity and mean it that the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. That will be just a Bible verse that you got memorized in your head. If he's real, he performs exploits in your life, man. Exploits are performed in your life if he truly lives for you. If you live for him, he said, the Lord lives. He lives, exclamation point. In the Hebrew, I believe they put an exclamation point there. He said, the Lord lives. The Lord lives. How did God live through David? He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. He said in verse 18, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, as he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and I'm not wickedly departed from my God. The Lord lives because I live in him. I know his power and might, they exist, and I don't lose. I am invincible. I know I'm preaching fast tonight on purpose. The Lord lives. He was real to him. Why? You want to know when a person begins to believe that God is real to him? When their lifestyle lines up with God's word. You can confess God's word all you want to and live in darkness and its vanity, unless that confession is to change you, to keep you from walking out of darkness. But if you're confessing that in darkness, my friends, it's vanity, and it is to an extent what 1 John chapter 1 is making reference to. To an extent it is, Pastor. You're giving the presentation that you're okay, but in essence, you know you're not. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, he said, let him be exalted. When he said, by my God, I can run through a wall, run over a wall. By my God, I can leap over a wall. By my God, he makes my arms to bend a bowl of bronze. All this was, he was so immersed in God that he knew that he could not lose. He knew that his God lived because of his integrity. Now, the Old Testament believer had to remind God of his word. Well, God, you said, you know what, as new born-again believers, we don't have to remind God of his word. I've heard people say that before. I got to remind God that he said he healed me. I have to remind God of his word. That's in here. Now, the Old Testament saint did because of their unregenerate spirit. They walked in peace, but still there was an element of fear in them a little bit because they weren't born again. You don't have to remind God of his word. It's decreed. It's settled in heaven, my friends. I will not be the same way tomorrow that I am today. I won't be. If I'm going to be the same another year from now, take me home, Father. Take me home. Pray for a little girl that I love a lot yesterday, Mercedes. I just felt the boldness to pray for her. I laid my hands on her. When I lay my hands on somebody, when they feel something, I want them to know that my God lives. You want to lay your hands on somebody and see them recover? We don't get the glory for that. You know who gets the glory? The God that me and you boast about. He gets the glory. That little boy that I saw in pain, I could have easily gone to him and quoted a scripture. And just could have came and took him to the doctor. But I quoted scripture. We didn't do nothing to his body because he went to the hospital sick. This is what brings God's glory. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, young man, I say arise. Boom. My God. Dad, I don't feel that no more. Mom, what happened? I tell you what happened, young man. This man named Jesus Christ paid the price for your infirmity. That's what the Holy Ghost is looking for, my friends. I'm tired of words. I'm not going to say vain repetition. I'm just tired of words. I know there's more to God's kingdom than words. There's more to God's kingdom than words. David said, the Lord lives. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted forever. I will not be the same. I will not be the same. I will not be the same. I got kids that I got to bring up in the ways of God. And you know what? And I'm done in 2 minutes. I pray for my kids almost every night. But you know what's more vital in the lives of my children and prayer for them? You know what's more vital? A lot of people pray for their kids, and good. I'm confessing God's word with my kids. I always do. But you know what's more vital to them? That they see my lifestyle in Christ Jesus. You can pray all you want over your kids and live like hell, and your prayers, my friends, are absolute vanity. Don't offer them up. Save yourself a dry throat. But let them see how you react in adversity. Let them see how you react when there's tension. And that's when they say, my God, my dad didn't waver. My dad didn't waver. My mama didn't waver. I want to serve the God that my mama serves. I want to serve the God that my daddy serves. Now, something's working because when my kids get sick, they come to me, and 99% of the time, they receive it. Because I'll stay there till they get it. I'm that kind of, like Mava said, I'm just that kind of dumb. In a good sense. You're here, we have nothing in the natural to offer you. But free air. You're here tonight because you believe what I'm preaching. Because you know our doctrine here. We don't have our own doctrine. We got the doctrine that we preach is a doctrine that's in here. True, Holy Ghost filled, Holy Ghost led, and Holy Ghost revealed. You believe what I believe. Some of you might be struggling right now, but you believe what I believe. Or you wouldn't be here. Put on your pants, your big boy, your big girl pants. Get on with this thing, man. We're halfway gone already. I'm 46 years old. I'll be lucky to have 46 more years. It's time, man. It's time to allow His word to transform your soul. It's time to allow His spirit to edify, exhort, and comfort your being. It's time, man. Consistently, habitually. It's time. Our kids' lives are at stake. Our kids, their eyes are glued on me and you. I used to get mad with Quentin and Jordan because they didn't want to come to church. You know what? I don't get mad no more. But I take advantage of every situation, and I tell them consistently that I love them. I tell them consistently that I love them, and they can't stop me from praying for them. And they know what I stand for. But their eyes are set on us. What am I looking for? People's eyes are set on us, man. People's eyes are set on us. Make no mistake, their eyes. And as we do, you're going to say amen to this, but this is a very serious statement. As we do, they do. As we do, they do. If daddy sleeps around, I'm teaching Elijah, Quentin, David, and Nathaniel, sleep around. If daddy gets drunk and lit up and comes to church on Sunday, they're going to get mixed emotions. If mama sleeps around, she's teaching Julie without words but by actions that it's okay to sleep around. And I don't know who said it the other day. I think it was on the video Friday. Yes, you're forgiven. You break the law, God will forgive you. He'll wash you with His blood, but you going to jail? There's consequences. Okay, I want to leave my wife and divorce her. Yes, I'm forgiven. I'm putting my kids through hell for 5 or 6 years. I'm putting my kids through hell because of my selfish decision. Oh, I'm forgiven and I'm washed in the blood and I can start over again, but they're gonna struggle for my bad selfish decision. The blood of Jesus runs freely, my friends, but there's consequences behind bad decisions. There's consequences. Sometimes we forget about that in life because we seem to think that this grace of God, and thank God for His grace, but okay, God forgive me. Yeah, but what about the 5 or 6 years of hell that you're going to put your kids to because you got excited for a moment? Get tired of it, man. Get tired of it. There's a place where you know you can't fail in Christ. There's a place where there's this imagery inside of you where you just can't feel. Do I walk in everything that I'm feeling right now? No. I'm graduating there. I just know there's more to this than what has been taught corporately in the body of Christ. And I believe more than ever, I believe it more and more and more, that we are on the right track. More than ever. I probably said that last week, but I believe it now more than ever, 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 that we are on the right track. I believe praying in tongues is a complete differential that'll keep us from deception. I believe it with all my heart. Come with me on this journey, man. Come with me on this journey. Church, with your brothers and sisters, is more than, if you still think, and it's a common statement to people that don't attend church, well, church is just a building. The church is inside of you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Amen and amen. But a fruit to an extent of your fellowship with Christ is to congregate with the brethren, to come here and worship the Lord. I've never met, and people, you know, I mean, I don't care. You know, I don't care. And people will argue with me. Well, you can't. I'm not judging you. I'm just quoting the scripture, not to forsake the assembly, not to forsake it. I'm not judging you. I'm just quoting a book that's judging you. I've never in my life, never, maybe you have, I have found a strong, loving, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled believer that did not attend church habitually. I've never found, maybe there is, but I've never seen one. Maybe there is. Because a fruit of loving Christ is congregating with the brethren. Don't separate yourself, man. Come mad, come drunk, come high, come doing what you got, but come. You never know what kind of anointing you're going to get here, my friend. You never know what you're going to feel one day. Come. Like Mexicano said, come hasta los troncos, but come. 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 I don't know how you say it in Creole. How you say it when you're real high or real drunk? How you say it? These Haitians can't speak Haitian. They can't speak. No. Oh, you cast low. Anyway. Just come, man. Just come. Mad, in a good mood, your hair nice, lippy sticky, no lippy sticky, weave, no weave, just come. Come. Just come. I hate the color maroon. I've seen too much of it the last year. Come. And don't wear a maroon sweater or shirt. Wear something different so I know the chair's occupied. Don't wear maroon. You'll take my peace like that. Don't wear maroon. Wear a neon color so I'll know that you've occupied it. My point is this, I know I can be a firm preacher, but you know what, guys? There's a lot of junk that I came out of, and in me, if I did it, I know you can do it. Why? Because the same Holy Ghost that edifies me, edifies you. The same word that I have, you have something. You just got to be tough, man. Don't get tired of yourself. Get tired of yourself. Embrace the Lamb of God. Live in boldness. Walk in victory. Walk in the victory that's been declared for you already. Amen. I figure that if you come here and you don't get mad at me, sometimes I figure I'm not doing the right thing. If you come in here and I cater to your flesh and you don't get mad at me, I'm not doing my job. I know 2 years ago, Pastor Brunt went and preached the message that he preached this morning. I would have walked out, so I'm out of hell. I'm out running. Tell your mother to run. You tell your mother not to eat a steak or you tell your mother, Pat, I would have walked out like a little punk. Like a little old punk, I would have walked out of here. But that was some awesome. Even Judy said, Dad, I love Pastor Brown teaching, but I got to have me a cup. I said, okay, baby, go get you six of them. Awesome teaching. And I'm excited about my health. I'm excited about jogging tomorrow. I'm doing my 2.2 miles in 1.6 hours. I'm excited about it. I'm the slowest jogger in the world. I don't care. But I feel better. Pastor's been trying to get me for years to jog, but I'm jogging now. I'm eating better, but I still got that little reward system working in me. Well, my sugar's low, my high blood pressure's stable. Oh, boy, Fruity Pebbles ain't gonna hurt nothing. Maybe two, maybe some French toast sticks, maybe a Wendy's double, I don't know, maybe. But real good teaching this morning. Real good teaching. It was long, but it was good. It was long because I was hungry. I didn't eat breakfast. Now I'm going to start eating breakfast now. I never eat breakfast, never, but I'm going to start eating breakfast now. But when I do eat lunch at 1, I eat. Pastor Bronk nailed it. I eat. Ooh, I eat. Ugh. We be what, Kirsten? What do we do when we eat? Good? Then we do some damage. There we go. So come with me, man. Come with me on this journey. I'm not giving up on none of you, but you got to want it. I can't want it for you. You got to want it yourself. I can't want, and I can't go after you if you don't give me that authority. I can't minister to your life unless you give me that authority, because I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Because more than likely, if I chase you without your permission, that means you don't want to be chased. It's time to be tough, man. We're halfway gone already. It's time to be tough. I've been born again 20-something years. It's time. Well, don't you think after 20-some years, it's time. Are you with me on that? Let's congregate, man. Let's congregate together habitually, continually. Let's hear some of this sound doctrine. Let's feel the embrace of the Holy Ghost on Wednesdays and in Sunday. Let's hear this truth that's been hidden in Christ for 2,000 years. Appreciate what's taught, not just by me. I mean, I'm the baby of the bunch, man. I'm the baby of... Call me Baby Hugh if you want. I'm the baby of the bunch. But come here, these mysteries that have been prayed out for hours. Come here, man. I don't care what you did Saturday. Come here. Come in. Ven pa acá. I say it in Creole. Bilu du basuku. Come with me. Stand with me. Amen.